What a privilege to be here, just worshiping again in God's presence with so many people that are really wanting to see Him and wanting to be with Him. And it's one of those weird things about God, that He's really a God that wants to reveal Himself. And He's been revealing Himself progressively. And what the people in the Old Testament never understood, we could understand in the New Testament. And whatever He says yesterday that we don't understand, we can understand Him today. And if not, we will one day have to talk to Him. And the reason why those last two songs just speaks about knowing God and who He is. The one was the Afrikaans one, you know, where we just sing about wanting to know God and wanting to see who He is and what He wants to do. And this is the thing about hymns. Some of you may not know this, but hymns explain who God is progressively. Just read through the hymns, how they wrote it in those days. The beautiful thing about hymns, it just says something about God, and then the next verse explains something else about God, and then the next verse, you know, as we sang the song, just go read through it, and you see how God just progressively reveals Himself to us. And the songs fit in with what I believe God is saying to us as a church for 2012. This is going to be the year of the builders. We're going to build. And God has been speaking to me about building, about renovating, about restoration. And, you know, if we want to be effective builders, we need to be in partnership with God, and we need to be in partnership with one another. You can't build on your own. Now, I have to say this, and if we spend enough time in God's presence, we will easily see that He's a master builder, you know. And there's one or two things that I'm wanting to say here, which is really important. A slave builds for somebody else, but a son builds with somebody. A slave builds for somebody, and a son builds with somebody. Now, are you a son or are you a slave? Because that will determine who you are building with. If you read the story of the book of Genesis chapter 11, building the Tower of Babel, those guys were building for somebody. They were not building with somebody. They were building for somebody. And because they built for somebody that is not God, they built with the wrong crowd. The second thing that I'm wanting to say is, you don't have to like it, but every one of us, we are building. We builders by default. The only thing that you have to ask yourself is, what am I building? It's as simple as that. And I love what Scripture says, Ephesians chapter 2:20. It's nothing there. Build on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus Himself as the cornerstone. So if you sit down with people and you talk to them, you know, it's easy to look in each other's eyes and just realize, okay, now what are you building and what am I building, and are we building for the same builder or are we building for somebody else? But we're building. And you know the parable about the storm. The storms will come. The winds will come and the rain will come, and it will test your foundation. We don't have to like it, but it will test your foundation. Now, when Jesus talks about the storm and He talks about building, just remember this. Jesus is not talking about believers and unbelievers. Jesus is talking about people in church. He says it doesn't matter if you were a Christian for long, if you were a Christian for a short period, if you're very super spiritual. It doesn't matter if you're Pentecostal. It doesn't matter if you're charismatic. The only thing that matters is the fact that you are building, and the only thing that matters is that I will test your foundation. And then Jesus says something that shocks a lot of people. He says, well, there's fools. There's foolish builders, and then there's wise builders. And that's the beauty about building. And I love the fact that God has given us the ability to build, to renovate, to restore the ancient ruins. And I want to tell you this morning, you have the ability with inside of you to build something glorious. And you know what? We're not going to talk about that this morning. But to build anything at first, you don't need money. To build anything at first, you don't need a wife or a husband. You need wisdom, because Scripture says, by wisdom a house is built. By knowledge, its rooms are filled. That's what you need at first. After that, when you have that vision within your heart, when you have that wisdom within your heart, God will send the finances. So, how do we know what to build? Carlos, please help me. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 2. It is the glory of God to conceal a matter and the glory of kings to investigate a matter. I love the scripture. I just love the scripture because it says so much about who God is. You see, I believe the technology exists for our cars to fly. Now, you may be thinking this morning, maybe the pastor had a few glasses of wine this morning. But I can tell you, in a few years' time, our cars are going to fly. Be it 10 years, 20 years, or 40 years. Our cars are... You know why? Because the technology, the knowledge, it exists already. I believe that there's also a cure for cancer. I really do believe it. Let me tell you why I believe that. Can I tell you? Because it will defy all knowledge or wisdom. Because God already has the answer. God conceals it. Some of us must find it. Now that's what that scripture says. It is in the glory of God to conceal a matter. God knows everything. He's not taken by surprise. I mean, God can create a cure for cancer just like that. Do you believe that? But it's his heart to conceal it. Net soos die motortjies kan vlieg. You know when our friend said, you know what? The earth is square. If you drive long enough on the sea, you'll fall off the earth. Another brother said, no, the earth is round. And then they all said, bro, jy moet op die dag rook. The earth can't be round. But the knowledge was there. God concealed it. But I love what that scripture says. It is the glory of kings and queens to investigate God's heart. If you want to build with the blueprints, that is the name of my sermon, building with God's blueprints. If you want to be a builder with God's blueprints, you've got to start praying. You've got to search his heart for the matters that he conceals. The secret things of God, you've got to search his heart for that. From there, God will give you the ability. When you've investigated, he'll give you the ability. The solutions to your challenges, it's already there. It exists. But it exists only within God. And so, if we want to be builders and we want to build with God, we got to find God's heart. We've got to search his heart. And with that in the back of our mind, we are now going to look at Abraham as an exemplary intercessor and builder. Abraham knew how to search God's heart. We can learn a lot through the way he prayed for Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, what happens is, Abraham sits at his tent. He's chilling. Then three gentlemen comes. It's in the heat of the day. It's in the desert. Now, if you look at Abraham as the intercessor searching God's heart, everything's going to fall into place right now. When we think of a tent, we think of the men's camp tents. But when you think of the Middle Eastern tent, it's quite a luxurious thing. It's a beautiful, thick tent. And these guys, they're very hospitable. When they invite you, and just remember, when you're walking in the desert and you find a brother with a tent, it's a good place to come under the tent and just sit. Just remember, we're talking now about 45 to 50 degrees Celsius in the desert. So now this brother's here with the tent. He invites you in. You're in this luxurious tent. And then when these three gentlemen comes, Abraham, the urgency within his heart, he gets up. He says, my lords, he bowed before them. He didn't worship them. He bowed before them. You can read this for yourself. Genesis chapter 18. I'm just bringing you into the loop. But now he says, come, eat with me. Come, you must. Let me wash your feet. Hospitality custom. He washes their feet. Then scripture says, he runs to his wife. He says, hy's die vrou, knie die broodjie. Ons het gaste. En sy sê, ja, ek sal het knie. And then he runs to the herdsman and he says, find the best calf. I want you to make a meal. Now these gentlemen, they sit with Abraham and they eat. Now, scripture is very clear that at the beginning of this conversation, Abraham doesn't know that he's talking to Jesus and two angels. Now, when Jesus appears in the Old Testament, they call it the theophany. So, jy kan jou eerste kind se naam theophany noem. It's a mooi naam. Ek sê maar net vir jou. Nee, it's a mooi naam, theophany. It's when Jesus appears. Just remember, Jesus existed already in eternity past. And so Jesus appears now. He's talking to them. And at one stage, Abraham realizes, but this is God what I'm talking about, because Jesus tells him, look here, Abraham, I just want to say something very personal to you. You're a very old man. I can see. Kan in die plooitjie sien. But I'll tell you, you're going to be a dad. You know, then Sarah laughs. Kan nie verba. Now, I love what Hebrews says. Hebrews says that when Abraham conceived his first child, he was as good as dead. Mense kan hulle dit indink. Jy lyk soos jy dood, maar jy het nog krag om kinders te maak. Nou ek kan verstaan dat van die vrouens ook nou hier lag soos Sarah gelag het. Lag maar lekker. Lag maar lekker. But you know what? The man had the ability to procreate. And then these two gentlemen, the angels with Jesus, and that's why Hebrews chapter 13 verse 4 says, never, no, 13 verse 4 says, the marriage bed is sacred. I think it's 13:2 that says, when you entertain strangers, they may be angels. Do not neglect to entertain strangers. And so, lekker vol geëet. It's weird how Jesus would want to eat. He's not been born yet, but he's hungry. You know, he sits there, his feet get being washed, and he's eating. Then they get up and then they walk. But now something strange happens. An outcry from the city of Sodom and Gomorrah went up to God about their evil ways. And now God is ready to judge Sodom and Gomorrah. Remember, we're talking about building from God's blueprints. If we want to build from God's blueprints, we've got to understand his heart. We got to search his heart because he conceals things. Now, just watch. When Jesus and the two angels get up to say goodbye to Abraham, just watch God's response. 18 verse 1. The Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? Now, as dit die vir jou vir oggend opgewonde maak, das jy dood, al is jy levendig. The fact that God is wanting to reveal his secrets to you. We're looking at Abraham as an exemplary intercessor. God was actually talking to himself. He said, now, shall I hide what I'm going to do to this brother? Ach, to Sodom and Gomorrah, but I must tell him. And so the first thing, God wants to reveal his heart to us just like he did with Abraham. It is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but it's the glory of kings to search it out. Abraham knew how to search for the blueprints because he needs to build. So now we see here, God's plans are always involves people. God will always involve you in his plans. Me. And it's something that I have to say. This is about a city, Sodom and Gomorrah. It can be about a nation. It can be about a lot of things. But a lot of believers, They've never grown to a place where they pray for something bigger than themselves. We must learn to pray for something bigger than ourselves. Most of the times we pray for us and for us at Chasen and for our children, and that is all fine. That is fine. Please continue to do that. But we've got to grow to that place where we've got to start praying for something bigger. Start with your neighborhood, and then from your neighborhood start praying for your town, and then start praying for the police station, and then start praying for local government. But something bigger, because the Lord says, shall I hide from Abram what I am about to do? So the first thing that I want you to remember, if you want to build with God's blueprints, just have this in the back of your mind. God wants to reveal stuff to me. He wants to. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God really wants to share his heart with you? For your home, for your neighborhood, for the place where you work, for this nation, for this continent, God wants to do that. The second thing that happens, covenant with God for the nations should precede our intercession for the nations. Listen to this. God said then, shall I hide? Verse 17, now verse 18, God says, Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation, and all the nations on the earth will be blessed through him. The second thing that I want to remind you about, if you want to build from God's blueprints, God is interested in nations, not a nation and one family. I dare you, I double dare you to start to pray about the 12 languages in this country and just start to listen to what God is going to start saying to you about this nation. God will reveal powerful things to you. People, we must make covenant for the nations. The bread of the nations. Ask me to inherit the nations. Go and preach the gospel into all the world. God thinks big, does big, looks big. And it's the same with us. Abraham will surely become a great nation. If you read Genesis chapter 12, do you know why God is so into Abraham at this stage? You read Genesis chapter 12 verse 1. Abraham, leave your father's house. Leave your family. Leave your country. Abraham was willing to walk away from family, from father's house, and country. Now, as soon as God sees somebody that God is interested in talking to you, because there's a willingness just to move beyond mediocrity, just to move beyond Worcester. Ah, man, the nations awaits us. Ek kan tog nie met mense praat oor die ou kerkie en die Shofar kerkie hierdie en ons ou kerkie. Weet julle hoeveel ander mense sit soos ons son as ons nou hier sit? Sommige sit onder 'n boom, ander mag nie eens by mekaar kom nie. Hulle word vrek gemaak. Gehang. God's a God of the nations. We got to wake up to that. Because that is part of God's blueprints. All tongues and tribes will worship him. IsiXhosa, Zulu, they'll do it. Chinese, well, you don't get a Chinese language. It's called Mandarin, I think. So please don't speak Chinese because there's not a language like Chinese. It doesn't exist. Only in the karate films it exists. But people, we must regularly remind ourselves that we need to make covenant with God for the nations. God's blueprints, the nations. Thirdly, Abraham's position was before the Lord as he ministered to a lost world. Watch this. So the men turned from there and went towards Sodom. I love what scripture says. Where did Abraham stand? Before the Lord. Abraham looked God in his face. If you want God's blueprints for your life, you've got to be face to face with him. If you want to build from the blueprints, you've got to be face to face with God. I love the way that scripture says it. But Abraham, go back. But Abraham still stood before the Lord. Do you know how many of us want God's secrets, but we don't want to take time out to stand before God? You stand there, you look him into the face, and then God starts revealing his heart to you. What's your position to receive the blueprints for your life? Is it koringkorrel en daadgooi gebede? Koringkorreltjie? I pray this, put it back. I mean, God is wanting to talk to you. God is wanting to talk to us about the nations. God is wanting to talk to you about a plan that's much bigger than yourselves. As daar een ding is wat ek vandag wil rekker, ek wil die hele kerk moet begin groot dink. Ons moet nie dink die gebouwkie nie en die speakerkies wat ons hier gehang het. Big band for the nations. You know why a lot of people fight in church? Because they only think about themselves.
Nee, die nagmaalglasies kan nie so groot wees nie.
Ek weet van kerke wat geskeer het oor nagmaalglasies grootte. Dan dink ek, Here, het u kom sterf in nagmaalglasies? Jy weet, sulke simpel goed, dan moet ek nie in sulke vergadering sit. Ek raak sommer weer visie voor. Moet my asseblief vir 'n meeting nooi as ek nou moet praat oor jou skoen se veters nie. Koop jou nuus. Moet tog jy voor bid nie. Jy het nie geloof in dit nodig nie. Gaan koop dit. You understand what I'm trying to say here? Because a lot of people, they can't think beyond themselves. And so it's utterly frustrating with God wanting to speak to us about nations and we wanting to speak to God about us. God, what about me? God, what about my way? Can't I have it my way? Yes, God, I know I have to go on missions, but God, can we please talk here about me and how I feel? You're with me. The position, Abraham's position right before God. And then just look what the rest of the scripture says. The rest of the scripture. Then Abraham drew near and said, will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? People, now that's powerful. God will save the wicked because of the righteous. God will save evil people because there's righteous people there. Remember, Abraham's nephew lives in Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot. Oh, Lot. Hy is daar, in die gemors. And Abraham is just saying, God, now just talk to me here. So God, are you willing to kill everybody there, even if you know that there are righteous people living there? I love what's his name? I can't remember. Charles Spurgeon. Yes, Charles Spurgeon said, if people will not listen to you preaching, they can't stop you from praying. But they'll only brand. And that's what I love about God's blueprints here. The fact that Abraham says, God, all those people in Sodom, they evil, they're going to die. But God, aren't you willing to save? And then we know, when Abraham walks through God, it's not there, but Abraham says, God, will you kill, if there's 50 righteous people, will you kill them? God, if there's 45 people, God, if there's 30, 20, 10. I love how Abraham pleaded with God for the safety of those people. You know what we do when we see evil people? Maak hulle frak. That's not God's heart. We see something here about Abraham's heart to pray for people that he doesn't necessarily love. But when he sees God's heart for them, he knows that God will love them. And so God will save. And I love the way Abraham bargains with God. You see, Abraham is talking about the blueprints to build here. It's blueprints. He needs the blueprints. Oh man, it's beautiful. If people hate you, if they treat you badly, if they're negative, if they're rude, if they're obnoxious, if they're racist, you know what? They can't stop you from praying for them. In supplication, just like Abraham, pray for them. And I know it's difficult to pray for people that you hate. Jy lekker om vir mense te bid vir wie jy haat. But I see this with Abraham. He prays for Sodom. And he says, God, you be merciful to them. Then Abraham's intercession reveals his rule and authority. Watch this. This is so beautiful. Now, just black out, Ryan. Just want to explain this. These two men, these angels, they go to Sodom. And God and Abraham are speaking. Now, these two angels comes to Lot's house, Abraham's nephew. So now Lot says, come in. Now just guess what? I'm going to say it in Afrikaans now. Die manne van Sodom en Gomorra sien toe die mooie engele. En die manne wil toe seksueel met hulle verkeer. Hulle wil hulle sodomiseer. Homoseksualiteit. Nou klop hulle daar by Abraham se huis. Ag, by Lot se huis. Luister, laat hy manne gou uitkom haar jong. Ons het 'n paar dinge wat ons met hulle afhandel. Lot says, guys, you can't do this. You know, you can't do this. He says something very profound, which I still need to agree, but he says, you can rather take my two daughters. It's something that we need to go, why does he say it? But I'm not going to talk about that now. But anyway, so he says, rather take my two daughters, but don't do this. Now, if he knew that they were angels, I don't know that, but we'll soon find out that they are angels. So these guys wants to break in the door. It's the whole town. They want to sodomize these two angels. And then the angels, I don't know what they did, but there was a flash of light and toe almal blind. Hulle kan nie sien nie, you know. It's amazing how a flash of light in the New Testament can turn Saul into Paul. And it's interesting how a flash of light can blind sinners forever. The same flash of light, the same source, different results. Then this happened. The angels told them, look here, my brothers. Who's your family here, Lot? You better move. God's going to destroy this nation. God's going to destroy this city. You better move. Now watch what scripture says. But he lingered. This is now Lot. So the men, the angels, seized him and his wife and his two daughters by the hand. The Lord being merciful to him, and they brought him out and set him outside the city. David, will you not go? You come in. That's what the angels do. The angel says, look here, you better come. Get your family. Now, Allah, say from now, eight. You can sit again, thanks. Give David toch aan, dat klap. But you know what? Abraham's intercession, Abraham's blueprints to build, caused angelic intervention. Remember, Abraham is still talking to God. The fact that Abraham prayed caused God to send angels to get his nephew out of there. Now, isn't that awesome? We actually have the ability to pray and God will move. I was talking to Tinus that was in our congregation when he had that accident in Mitchell's Pass. He fell about 30 meters. So I asked him, Tinus, how did your car look? Well, the whole car was a write-off except the place where I sat. The window cracked right into the middle and it stopped there. My door was the only door that could open. Everything was intact with me. But the rest of the car was all right. It rolled. I asked Tinus, how long did it roll? He said it felt like a lifetime. Just going and going. And it fell between two trees. So when he opened, he still felt, is there ground under me? So it was about hay high from the ground. And he could climb up again, phone people to come and help him. Now, obviously, that must be the grace of God. I say it's angelic intervention, it's God's hand, but it's the same here. And what I'm wanting to tell you is that God will move angels because of your prayers and my prayers. God will do that for us. Because God knew that Abraham could exercise his rule and authority. God said, Abraham, you will be great among the nations. And just watch how he's exercising his authority in the nations. He's exercising it as he bargains with God. Number five, if you want to know the blueprints, Abraham knew he stood in front of a judge and he acknowledged his frailty. Let's just read this. Far be it from me, from you, to do such a thing, to put the righteous to death with the wicked, so that the righteous fare as the wicked. Far be that from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just? There's one thing that we must always remember when we pray to God, if you want the blueprints to build. Always remember, church, we're praying to a judge. It's not our China or our friend. God's a judge, and a judge speaks judgment. And sometimes in the plans that God has, his plans has judgment within it, and we have to make a peace with it. Like Abraham says, he shall not the judge of all the earth. Remember, the position is face to face. Shall not the judge of all the earth. Abraham knew how to exercise the builder's protocol. The builder's protocol is a protocol of respect to the one that you're praying to. If you want to build, you must pray. You can't build without praying. And that's what I'm saying over and over this morning, as we learn from Abraham. And then the last one, Abraham stopped praying when God was finished speaking. Just watch the scripture. And the Lord went his way. When he had finished speaking to Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. Just look at that scripture. And the Lord went his way when he had finished speaking to Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. Do you know how we do it? We pray, and when we finish speaking, we walk away. Okay, God, ek het nou gepraat, ha gat ek. Scripture says, Abraham went and left God when God stopped speaking. If you want the blueprints for your life, we stay in front of God face to face until he stops speaking. It means that we have to be in that position, in that place. Until God says it's enough, now you can go, then we go. That's how you receive. I'm giving you the tips on how to search for those matters that God's concealing. You can go read the story for yourself. The master builder has the final say. Only the master builder can reveal the blueprints. Only the master builder can deliver. And Lot's whole family was delivered except his wife. Sy het teruggekyk, verander sy in 'n soutpilaar. Saltpille. I had a friend from Cape Town. You know how these Cape Townians speak. But he talked about Lot's mochi. Lots of mochi. Now, mochi is slang for wife. I was talking, now, who's mochi? No, it's lots of mochi. But then a salt pillar. I said, no, I understand what you're saying. But the fact, her position was not that position of Christ, that position. My love, would you please come here? I just want to illustrate this because some of us must just see this, you know. This was Abraham's position. My vrou's knierag lammy. Julle gesien. But this was Abraham's position, you know. He looked God in the face. Oh, my vrou is weer verlief aan voor. Ek het nou nie dit bedoel nie. Nou ja, dit gebeur ook. But that's the position, and that's exactly what I want from you this morning. If you want blueprints, you're laughing now, but ek wil hê jou knieën moet lam raak wanneer jy weer in die Here se oë begin kyk. Ons kom in, en praat is 'n klomp goed, en as ons klaar gepraat is, dan loop ons. Ek het ons nou vir hom gesê wat hy wil sê, so ek het hom nou aangeskakel. Hy beter nou God wees. Nou, ons sê het nie so die, maar as houding sê als. En al wat ek net sê is, as jou knie nie lam kan raak, soos my vrou sin vir my nie, nee. Jy weet, terwyl sy vir my in my oë kyk, dat beter jy nie met God praat oor enige van die drome van jou lewe nie. Los het. Kry die tyd, kry die rustigheid, drink die water, vat jou draf klaar, kom na hom toe, en sê, Here, ek is nou gereed dat jy my knie lam maak. Show me the blueprints. All those concealed matters, I want this. And that is what I'm just what was trying to say about Abraham this morning. Abraham knew how to search God's heart. And I only gave you 6 ways in which we can learn from Abraham. Scripture says in Hebrews chapter 3 verse 4, and I'll end off with this. For every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. But watch what God says in the next scripture. And as he told them, is it not written, my house, again, a house that is built, will be called the house of prayer. This morning is about the blueprints. This morning is about intercession. And I know I put on our year calendar that we'll have an intercession on Thursdays, but we're not going to do it that way anymore. Next week, Wednesday, small group's going to start. We are going to divide the church into 2 groups, those who are married and those who are not married. And every Wednesday, we're going to alternate it. So next Wednesday, everybody's that's not married, we're going to go to the church's office and we're going to start praying for our church and for our nation and for our town. Then the next week, the following week, everybody that's not married, you're going to have small group. Then all the people that are married, you're going to come to the church's office and then we're going to pray. You know why? We are only as strong as we pray. We are only as strong as the rule and the authority that we do exercise. For the team in Slanghoek, we're going to schedule another day for Wednesday just to pray. Maar almal gaan moet leer bid julle. Ons kan nie so aangaan nie. Nie as ons God se planne wil hê vir ons lewens en God se planne vir die kerk nie. Ons kan nie so aangaan nie. 5 minute bid is ons moeg. Oef, wat moet ek nou nog sê? Kyk cricket. Voor die TV binge. Facebook binging. And we don't have the stamina and the ability to look God in the face and talk to him about people that's dying. It's got to change this year. And so we're going to do it Wednesdays. We're going to pray. And it's only going to be for 2 hours, 7 till 9. So there's no extra tijd uit die. Ek het net besef julle, die kracht van intercessie. By enige gemeente. Is die sleutel tot die bouwstene wat God in elkeen sy hand gaan gee. Om 'n suksesvolle, gefokuste, huis te bou. En het gaan vir jou ontsettend baie help. So dat jou knie weer kan lam raak wanneer jy in die Vader se oë kyk. En sy hart vir die nasies te kan vang. Kan ons die voorlaaste Afrikaanse liedjiese woorde net vir julle wys wat dit vir my beteken het. As die band net kan kom, dan as julle vorentoe kan kom band. En kom ons gee sommer vir die 2 van Potse lekker hande klap dat hulle ook hier is. Maar, almagtige Vader, ons prys die grote naam. Wie kan u deur grond? Met ander woorde, daar is soveel om te soek na u, om u te verstaan. God, you conceal a matter, but we can. We want to understand you, verstaan. Volgende vers, u alleen is heilig, u alleen is Heer, u alleen is waardig om te oordeel, as die judge weer, en regeer. Heilig is die Here op wie ons vertrou. Heilig is ons Vader, want in liefde ons omvou. Heilig is die Jesus, koning van my hart. ek wil U aanbid, Heer, in vreugde en in my smart. Vanoggend is een van die oomblikke, weet julle wat is my hart vanoggend? Ek wil net vir jou knieën moet lam raak, as jy weer in die Godse oog kyk. When you start praying, fall in love with praying again and talking to God. Not leaving His presence until He's finished speaking. Just standing there and say, God, I'm going to wait. You talk to me, God. God, I know I have to take the dog for a walk. God, I know there's a lot of things that I have to do, God. But God, I'm going to wait until You speak to me. So believe me, no nie sê ek dat jy kan laat kom vir jou werkie, want jy wag nou dat die Here praat, dan kom jy 1/2 uur laat. Hulle gaan jou afdank en jy verdien het. Sê die Here wil hoor, dan staan jy vroeër op. As jy 1/2 uur kan opstaan om jou kampgereedskap reg te kry sodat jy kan ry, kan jy 1/2 uur opstaan om te bid ook. It's all the same, it's all the same. The only difference is it's for somebody that's called a king. You rise up early in the morning and you take your time to talk to Him. And God will reveal to us how to build. And building, if we want to build, we've got to be a church that pray. And it's going to start this year. And by the end of the year, we're going to be powerful prayer warriors. We're going to be excited about the fact